It's been
1 week since you looked at me. The song I can get approximately 90% of the words when I do karaoke.
Superman.
I summoned fish to the dish of the... I like the salad squish, I like the sushi because it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne rhymes because I'm all about value.
It's Bert Kemper's
got the bad hits. You try to match with. You try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a think. Gonna make him break a take. I get a stinking naked shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that preaches our confessions to Pastor Boston Rob. Father Boston Rob, please forgive me for my sins. And he says, no, get back to Redemption Island. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, can I be forgiven?
No.
Oh.
I know what you've done. That would be like if Judas came to Jesus and went, hey, I was thinking about doing this, but I changed my mind. I felt bad about it. And then Jesus went, to hell with you.
Yeah.
Literal. Straight, literal to hell.
Straight to hell.
A circle opened up beneath him and he just down into hell. Did you see, and I didn't read the article because it's 2026 and I have brain rot, but I saw the headline, which was that Jesus might have been a psychedelic mushroom.
Hold up. No, I have not seen this.
I mean, even with just the headline, I don't put a lot of stock into it. But from what I understand of like the comments and like, I guess the little synopsis I did read, mm-hmm. it was that he was an allegory for a lot of different people. But like there was a psychedelic mushroom that people were taking at the time. I don't know. I don't believe that. But I did think it was funny.
I think that there has been, like, research that he was a real person.
Yeah.
Like, it could be the story continues on in through myth and legend, but there was, I believe there is physical evidence that he existed.
Yeah, that there was a guy that that shared some of, if not all of, the life of, the tangible life events. Yeah.
Anywho.
That's, all right, we're not here to debate that.
Certainly have not seen that.
Steven?
I'm Steven.
I need it to be warm enough to drive my electric scooter more than one day so fucking badly. So I was meeting somebody for coffee today.
Okay.
And so I parked my car a couple days ago on a dead end street near me. That's like the easiest place to find parking late at night because people think it's permit parking, but it's not. So I parked over there. I walked to get to my car and there are two fire trucks and two police cars, all, like, blocking the entire street.
This was today, right?
Today.
What is going on in Chicago?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Kind of. I don't know what's going on with this. This is, like, a very, like, I do not live in necessarily, like, the wealthiest area. It's like a hodgepodge area. But this dead-end street is clearly very wealthy people. Like, mm-hmm. this specific street has, like, not McMansions, but, like, for the city of Chicago and, like, how much land costs, there it's probably, you know, a couple $1 million houses.
Sure.
So, there's no fire. And the firefighters are, like, they are going into a residence. Seems like they've been there for a little while. And their body language is casual at this mm-hmm. point. There is not an emergency.
Right.
But their fire trucks, is where they have them parked, are still blocking the entire street.
Yes.
So I'm waiting for like 20 minutes, and me and some people behind me too, to get out of this street. And they're just kind of meandering and several times going into their fire trucks and then not moving. And there was driveways they could have pulled into. There was areas with like, they could have just pulled the fire truck to like be more parallel and like at least enough room for like cars to get by or a car to get by, at mm-hmm. least to get out. No attempt was made. And their emergency services, that on its own would be annoying, but fine. But then, as you know, Stephen, I live next to and have to go through a primarily an Asian neighborhood, primarily Vietnamese here in Chicago, to get back to like the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a few blocks that separate like or that I'm in and then Asian neighborhood and then the rest of the city. It is the Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
There's a parade. So the main street that I used to get back into the rest of the city was blocked off, and I had to route through like 10 different alleyways to get back to a main artery to get out. So what should have been a 10-minute commute to meet for coffee ended up turning into a 45-minute drive. And I was going insane.
And I was mad about that.
It was the kind of thing where I knew it was not... I wasn't mad at anybody in particular. I was just like, this situation is garbage.
That makes sense, because I was downtown, and I'm going to tell my story in a little bit. But when I was coming back from downtown, every intersection on... I don't even remember what it was. It was like... It wasn't Clark Street. It was something... The one that the red line is on. Maybe it was State.
Okay.
All of them blocked off by police cruisers.
Mm.
So probably going from where you are down to where I was.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or a separate function entirely.
Who knows?
Yeah. How's your week been, Steven?
Good. I had a Survivor-related adventure this morning.
Oh?
So for Survivor 50, they're doing a quote-unquote scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah. That's why you were downtown today.
Correct. Okay. So they did the Illinois one. They're doing one for every state. They did the Illinois one this weekend, and they give a clue. And I'm gonna read you this clue and see if you can get an idea of where this is.
Survivor famously bad at making good clues. They're either way too easy or way too hard.
In this city, elevated travel... Again, this is for the entire state of Illinois. In this city, elevated travel is a breeze. On a route once named for Ravenswood, but avoid looping to the east to find a symbol of survival moving above.
Okay, so that's obviously the L, which is the train system in Chicago. Uh-huh. It's called the L for the elevated line.
Correct.
The loop is downtown. It is called the loop because mm-hmm. the trains go in a loop. Avoid, named for the Ravenswood neighborhood.
So that one I had to dig
brown little, line because wood.
It's the brown line, correct. It used to be called the Ravenswood line.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was just thinking like wood, brown. Also, like that train goes through Ravenswood, so that would be the only one I could think of.
Correct.
Avoid going to the east. So you're looking at one of the train stops that is in the, that goes west, north, or south, I mm-hmm. guess. On the brown line in the loop. And what was the last bit? Look for...
To find a symbol of survival moving above.
I would have to be down there, moving above. There isn't anything that I can remember that's above the station.
I'm going to stop you because none of it really matters. The second half of that clue, worthless.
Oh, okay, great.
Because I took it and I went, okay, yeah, the looping to the east portion, I was like, okay, so it stops before it hits the loop or before it turns around, because the brown line goes south and then hits Merchandise Mart and then loops back and then goes the other direction.
And turns into Kimball. Like Kimball, it goes so it's either the train's either going the direction of the loop or Kimball. So uh-huh. would you be on the Kimball side of the stations? Or they don't have a distinction, do they?
It doesn't really matter because essentially you're either going to loop, but once if you're on the train long enough, it just goes back the other direction.
Right.
The clue, kind of, other than it's brown line, worthless because it was just on a train.
What the fuck?
A brown line train. They had a specialty brown line that the first two cars had a Survivor 50 sticker, and then you would get on the train, fill out whatever paperwork you needed to, and then get off.
How long? Well, Steve, not in public, you shouldn't. How long is this going for?
4 hours.
Okay, that's a little more reasonable. I was like, they're just going to keep this running for like a week?
Yeah.
Okay, that... And listen, Chicago loves their specialty trains. We have a holiday train in the holiday, you know, time through most of December. But that's tough to just sit at a train station and wait for a specific train.
Mm-hmm.
How did you figure out this?
So I was prepared to go searching train stops because of that second half of that clue.
Yeah.
And by the time I went... hunting with a friend, and we got to Merch Mart, which was my first, like, it's either here or it's at Quincy before it loops to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there and we see everyone just standing there. So we were trying to remain unspoiled.
Yeah.
So when people actually find it, with everyone standing there, we're like, Okay.
It's got to be this.
It's either this or something coming to this.
So when you, the back half of that clue actually isn't irrelevant then, because a sign of whatever looping above would be you're on the ground and the train is moving above. And I thought about that and I thought, no, that's stupid. How would you know which train, which specific train it is?
A symbol of survival. But like,
well, yeah, it's not really simple. Well, just, oh, but Survivor.
It's just Jeff's face on a train.
Jeff is survival. Jeff. But like, the clue also makes you want to be on the ground level, which means then you would have, you'd see it and you'd go, shit, I missed it.
It's not challenging enough that I'm like, this is interesting. And it's not accurate enough that I'm like, ah, yes, this makes sense.
That's Survivor's sweet spot with their clues.
Yes. So, I mean, a lot of people found it. Our biggest problem was not enough people fit in the train car at one time. So, thank God it was Merch Mart. We let the first one go. And then as everyone was, like, fighting to get in these two cars, I go, let's just go over to the other side of the platform and we'll take it going back.
Getting out of the loop during, like, a mass event of people. I mean, I know this is, like, isolated, like, a specific train. But that is the closest I think you can get in real life to witnessing a zombie apocalypse. Trying to leave the loop after Lollapalooza the one year I went looked like an apocalypse movie where there were zombies outside the train.
Yeah. So there's me and the idol.
Hey!
It's a good time. And my friend. We're hanging out. Having Hell a good yeah. time. Yeah. Adventure. Adventure to be had.
You didn't invite me?
I figured, okay, here's the thing. I did contemplate inviting you, and I think I did mention to you at one point that I was doing this, but I was like...
I don't think you told me when or how long it was going for.
At other events, Survivor contestants were showing up.
Yeah.
And there was one, like, I think there's a designated Survivor, that's funny, at each one of these, but he started at the Kimball station and I think just either stayed there or sent the train off and then went about his merry way.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Because that, having to be on that train the whole time and just like as people mob on, no.
Nightmare.
Thank you.
No.
Because you're just, you can't go anywhere. You're just stuck with them.
And logistically, I think this is the worst case scenario for one of these events.
Yeah.
Because you have limited space and you have to pay a fare to get onto the thing.
True.
And they said in the rules that you had to pay a fare, so everyone knew where this was going.
Oh, well, fuck.
Yeah, but exactly.
What?
It's to cover their own ass.
I know.
Legally.
They should, if they're going to do that, they should have put it in all of them that you may, like, some places may require small fees to enter or whatever, like places where the clues could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Anyway.
Fucking lawyers.
Fucking lawyers, man. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before I get into my little exercise that we're going to do?
No, I'm so curious because I don't know what you're doing right now, but you have a screen on your lap and you haven't told me why.
Yeah, so I have a second secondary, like, I can plug this in and it's a mobile screen. We're doing a little thing. First off, if you want to email us, feel free to do so, survivortbt@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/survivortbt. Follow us on Patreon, give us $1, and you can listen to more of our yapping.
So is this email related?
So we don't have any emails today.
Oh, okay.
So this is in lieu of emails.
I have a feeling that this episode we're recording right now is the one people have been waiting for to write in about this season, at least somewhat.
I think... it's also not as talked about, like, because it's not as popular of a season, I think people don't have all of the full deep dive as sure. they do. We've gotten some interesting emails, yeah. And go to the subreddit. There's lots of good conversation happening there.
No, I just, like, some of the emails we've had have got people been like, but wait until the middle of the season, mm-hmm. And now I know why they've been saying that, because, yeah, we'll get into it.
So, what I'm going to do here... I have pulled up a list of every single Survivor contestant that has played the game thus far, and I have also pulled up random.org.
Okay.
What we're going to do, we're going to create our own Survivor tribes. You are going to do it, I'm going to do it, and we're going to decide which between the two of us has the better tribe.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to give you 2 skips in this process.
Okay.
So assume that you are on this tribe. We're both on this tribe.
Both on our own tribes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So it's going to be you plus five others, and you get two skips.
Heard.
Would you like? Would you like to do me or you first, or do we want to go back and forth?
Let's go back and forth.
All right. I like this. Cool. Then I will start with the Jared. The Jared abides.
The Jared of it all.
All right. You get a number from 1 to 346 is the total contestants we've played thus far.
These are just in a random order?
These are in the exact order that they were played the game. So lower number means earlier season.
Okay.
Unless you want me to randomize those.
Well, how are you going to do it without knowing?
What do you...
You well, know
the random is going to pick a number for us. So,
oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So I'm not picking these tribes. Random.org is picking these tribes.
Great.
And then you decide if you want to keep or pass.
I thought you were asking me to name a number, and I was like,
No. No, that would be problematic. Okay, your first number, 218, which is, as I scroll real fast, Mookie Lee.
I'll keep Mookie.
Mookie's a good one. Do you want to write these down for me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Mookie from Survivor Fiji is, again, I think a good solid choice. Way to go. I hope I get just as lucky. 95. Probably not as great. 95. It's Skinny Ryan.
We only get one skip?
We get two skips.
Two skips, okay.
Part of me wants to keep it for the die jerks of it all.
Sure.
But I'm going to skip Skinny Ryan. All right. Should I go again?
Go again.
Okay. 176. 176 is... Oh, my God. Okay. The first vote off of Survivor Panama. This is Tina Shear. Is that correct?
I don't know, but the first boot off of Panama.
I think I'm going to use my second skip.
Wow,
and just go
okay.
For the random of it all.
Yeah, I would rather have Skinny Ryan than her, to be honest.
I agree. Oh
wait, no, was she the one that had the son that passed away?
Oh, hold on. Let's do a quick search of our... Whoops, I'm dropping everything. Oh, yes, that's... from Hayward, Wisconsin, the Lumberjill.
Lumberjill.
Yeah, I think I don't think I can live with the Tina of it all.
Okay,
so 216 is our next one, and this is Michelle from Survivor Fiji, and I'm gonna keep that.
Yeah, I would love that, Michelle. Well, yeah, that's true. You don't have a choice. Wow, a lot of Fiji representation right away.
All right, your next number, Jared, 337.
That's gonna be someone relatively recently.
That's pretty late in the game. All right, 337 is... Naonka.
Skip.
That's, you know what, I get that. All right, moving to 129.
I don't want to have to try to predict Naonka's behavior on a tribe with her.
Yeah, for the record, I did use ChatGPT for this, so I already spotted a couple errors. I know, boo Steven, boo. But I was doing this fast. So 129 is Mia Glaciana.
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to do a quick search for you here. Mia from Boston. This is Survivor Vanuatu. She's
an early boot.
She came in 15th place.
Of 16.
Uh-huh. Me and the other woman of the season were placed on the Yasser tribe, where age immediately became a dividing factor between the group of women. Mia aligned with the younger women, Eliza, Lisa,
that's fine.
And Julie.
I'll keep her. I want to have one more skip since we have a few more.
Okay.
And like,
that's her face. If you want, remember Mia.
Yeah, like not a lot, but you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing when you're booted that early. So whatever, you need at least one person that's fodder, right?
Cool. For Steven's designated, you gotta go there. 63. Oh, man. Dang it. That is first boot of Survivor Thailand, John Raymond.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is why I kept my second one.
Hold up. That might actually... I gotta remind myself of John's face.
He is the guy who was super religious and then turns out after the show was...
Yes.
Convicted or accused of sex crimes.
Former U.S.
Or abuse? I don't remember which. Allegedly, if he was only accused.
John Raymond.
Steven, your team so far, you've pulled some rough lotto tickets here.
Yeah, this is... Oh, man. All right. Fun. This could be a grand old time. Jared gets number 89. Heidi Strobel.
Amazon. Yeah, I'm going to keep Heidi.
Ugh. You sure?
Yeah.
I can pull you some first boots, Jared. I'm really good at it.
I could get like a John.
How many people have we each kept at this point?
I have 3. You have 2.
Heard. 209 for Steven. Oh, hell yeah. All right. This is Yule.
Okay. Well, you're starting to get stronger than me physically, so that's tough.
Jumping to Jared. Ooh, this is a season 1, number 14.
Oh, that's got to be pretty late. That's got to be like what, Sue?
Rudy.
Yeah, I'm going to keep Borneo Ruby, yeah, or Rudy.
I think that's fair. Rudy at the time of Borneo is much better than Rudy at the time of All Stars.
My tribe's a party.
Your tribe is a party. Oh, boy.
I want to see Mookie and Rudy interact.
Oh, man. From Survivor Australian Outback, Marilyn Hershey, the third boot. Jared, I'm in danger.
Yeah. No, that's a tough. I don't remember. Marilyn's not big dog, right? I think she might be big dog.
She's big dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Retired police officer in Oga Corps. Yeah. Mad dog. Not
mad dog.
Dog. Mad dog. Mad.
I would take Mad Dog.
My tribe is bananas, man. 334 for Jared.
This is my last one.
Was it your last one?
Yeah.
Did I already have my last one?
No. I went first.
334. Alina Wilson from Survivor Nicaragua.
I'll take a skip. Okay. I have one more.
Then back to Steven.
It could get way worse.
323. Jerry Manathee from Heroes vs. Villains.
That's a good Survivor player right there.
That's a good Survivor player. I'm taking it. I don't have a choice, but I'm taking it. And then Jared's last one. You've already used both skips, correct?
Yep. I'm just stuck with whoever this is.
All right. Number 287. Oh, you son of a bitch. It's Fishbach.
Oh, fuck yeah.
God damn it. All right. Will you just read out this list for me, Jared?
Yeah. So the people I skipped on were Alina from Nicaragua and Nayonka from Nicaragua. My tribe is myself, Mookie, Mila from Vanuatu, Heidi from Amazon, Rudy, Borneo, Fishbach, Token Sheens. I really like that tribe.
It's a good tribe.
Yours is Michelle from Fiji, John, the first boot of Thailand, Yule, Marilyn, Mad Dog, and Jerry Manathee, Heroes versus Villains.
See, here's the thing. John and Mad Dog would get along because they're both like in that military cop range. No, John's not.
No, but I could...
I just picture him that way.
They're both older. I could see them...
Yeah.
They would either get along or absolutely fucking hate each other.
I feel like Jerry would hate them.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. John is Keith, but worse.
Yule would try to play like, come on, guys, let's get along.
That's a strong tribe leader, though, to have Yule.
It is.
And I think Yule and Michelle would get along quite well. So you would want to put yourself in that alliance.
Yes, I would want to be with the Yule and Michelle of it all.
If they wanted you in the alliance.
Who was my sixth?
Jerry.
Jerry, that's right. Jerry could be an interesting swing to everything.
I think challenge-wise, you probably would have me beat more often than not. Well, maybe not.
I don't know.
They're pretty even.
I have 2 older stragglers.
It's true. I think you and I, like, in challenges would be very different. Like, you're faster than me. I have more finesse than you, i.e. you're clumsy. I think you'd struggle on, like, dexterity-based challenges because you're a little clumsy. But
what are you talking about? I just dropped my phone over here.
And have hurt yourself several times. Do you think I'm like pound for pound stronger than you? This is a very weird question to ask.
I don't know about pound for pound stronger than me. You are stronger than me.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
I am more pounds than you.
I would say, yes, you are stronger than me. If it came to a challenge, like where we're doing our own body weight, I think I would do better just because simply I am smaller.
Stamina, you'd beat me.
Okay.
Every time. Yeah. So I think we're just different types of competitors in that way. But like,
here's how I think this would go. I think your tribe would win the first 2 immunity challenges. We would vote out our 2 stragglers and then we'd make the comeback.
Probably. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you have to worry about Rudy's like fading physically, especially because like he was old in Borneo too, and Borneo didn't have the hardest challenges in the world. So yeah, but I do have the Puzzle Whiz Fishbach on my side.
You do have Fishbach.
Mookie's really strong. Heidi's there. He wasn't terrible at challenges.
No.
Mila's, I would try to basically...
Between Heidi and Michelle, I think I would go Heidi.
Really?
For, like, I think I'd go challenge.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
I would try to, I mean, I feel like Mila would be the easy...
I feel like Heidi has, like, a foot over Michelle.
Here's my concern with my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mila would be the easy, like, oh, we need to cut somebody because they're weak and we lost a challenge type of vote. Mm-hmm. That, you know... younger women always have to fight against that. Maybe Rudy, but Rudy's likable enough. I think I would be the second boot on this tribe.
Uh-oh.
I wouldn't want to be, but I do think I would be. If not me, then maybe Mookie would be, because a bit of a hothead.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you. This is a fun little thought exercise. Feel
Fantasy
free...
Fantasy Survivor draft.
I may, like... put a thing on the subreddit to be like, which tribe you taken?
I think it's mine.
With full pictures.
Yeah. That's fun.
That was fun. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on April 6th of 2011. A couple things happened the week between episodes. After protests against the burning of the Quran turned violent, a mob attacked United Nations compound in Mazar-i-Sharif, Afghanistan, and killed 13 people, including 8 foreign workers.
Ew.
Not great. And then Alan Rickman, last performance in Seminar on Broadway. It was important enough to make a note. I don't know Seminar, but...
I know Alan Rickman.
I do know Alan Rickman.
Good actor.
Yes, he is. The number one song on the charts has changed.
Okay.
From Born This Way, which was... around for a long time, to E.T. by Katy Perry featuring Kanye West, noted non-problematic guy at all. Definitely not a Nazi, Kanye West.
Sure. I don't remember this song.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I remember it, but I couldn't sing it right now, if that makes sense.
Sure.
The top five movies are The Lincoln Lawyer, Limitless... we're going to talk about number three. Number two, Source Code. Number one, Hop. But the number three movie, and the one we're going to be talking about today, Insidious.
Oh.
Steven, have you seen Insidious?
I don't think I've seen Insidious. But so, I know that this, like, spawns a franchise of movies.
Yes. This is another one that I saw in the theaters. Like, we're in a couple year span where I'm actually going to know the movies, which is fun for me.
You didn't want to go with Hop, Jared?
No.
The Easter classic Hop that everyone knows and loves.
I didn't even know that's what it was about. Insidious, with maybe the shortest summary I've seen on Rotten Tomatoes. And I also want to say, when I Googled this film, it said it came out in 2010. It did not. It came out on April 1st of 2011. So I don't know why Google said that. But anyway.
I wonder if it hit like a festival somewhere in 2010.
Maybe. Yeah. The synopsis is... a family looks to prevent evil spirits from trapping their comatose child in a realm called The Further. That's it.
Okay.
That's all you get.
Sure.
What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
Oh, man. Okay. So here is my thing with horror movies or thrillers.
I'd like to point out that this is a horror movie that released in April.
That's a good point. I think that it's always better than I expect them to be. And the fact that this continued on, probably better than even I am giving it credit for. So I'm going to go a critic score of 88, an audience score of 92.
It is lower than that. I was kind of surprised too, honestly. I would have been right with you. Critic score of 66, audience score of 62.
I'm off my game, Jared. I've blown it a couple times in a row now.
Well, to be fair, that description gave you nothing to work with.
Valid.
It has a lot to do with astral projection, which I thought was cool. It was like, basically, the kid that's in the coma is astral projecting, and so a demon is occupying, or is trying to occupy his body.
Sure.
And so they have to learn to astral project. This is the movie with the Darth Maul head.
Ah.
If you remember that thing of like, the person's, like, talking, and right behind them, Darth Maul pops out.
Yeah.
Freaked me the fuck out in theaters. The consensus is also insanely short. Aside from a shaky final act, Insidious is a very scary and fun haunted house thrill ride.
Okay.
That's it. That's all you get.
Has anyone actually seen this movie? Apparently, they're just like...
Just me.
I don't know.
It's just me. This, I'm the only one who's seen it.
This movie is a movie.
It is one of the movies of all time. Anyway, that's it.
Cool. Then let us get on to the episode. Episode 8, The Game Respects Big Moves.
Okay, so let's just address the elephant in the room. I assumed for 7 episodes... And actually, let's be honest, before that, I assumed from the minute I learned the premise that this shit would be done in whatever version they brought it in with at the merge.
Uh-huh.
Because at that point, people need to go to the jury and be done playing the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And Survivor said, no, no. What if instead...
Hold up.
We made it bad. It did not even occur to me that there was a possibility... that we would keep this going beyond the merge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is funny that part of the reason I feel, I don't know if this was backed up by evidence or not, I feel like people wrote about it in emails, but I don't remember if that could be the case or that was the case or whatever, but part of the reason they got rid of Exile Island was because it became a place for one person to go and sit for half the game. And also, typically, once you got to the merge, Exile Island was gone. So, not always. I feel like that, like, early they kept it the whole time, like, Panama, the Exile Island season. But anyway, the reason that they got rid of it partially is because it was one person's punishment. And now it's just the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
That, what the fuck? And I did write down right when they revealed this twist, and I'm showing my whole hand here, but I texted Steven about this because I was like, this is insane. The first thing I wrote down when they introduced that it was going to keep going was... they have the chance to do the funniest thing, which is sending Matt right back there. And they fucking and jumped they on it.
I held my tongue.
Wow. What a car crash this episode is. I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Starting at the top here. Zapatero is very excited that they blindsided Sarita, except for Ralph, who tries to stay a little stoic here.
Yeah.
And him and David are pretty congenial. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for here.
Yeah, I mean, David buries the hatchet.
Yeah.
He says, like, I'm not mad you wrote my name down. It is funny because, like, David's a sore loser or sore fighter, mm-hmm. but a good winner.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I think that's the lawyer of it all.
Yeah. He's like... you know, a lot of, if he is a trial lawyer,
uh-huh.
a lot of that is battling.
Yeah,
you're done and you shake hands.
You shake hands. You don't celebrate in the courtroom because that'll get you in trouble.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Ralph, same idea, was like, yeah, I was going to talk to you after this. Bury the hatchet. Great. Move on. Steve says, we got to figure this thing out. No one likes a landslide, man. So we got to find a way to move forward as a unit.
Sure.
We go over to Redemption Island. Matt, Sarita arrived, and at Mikasa, says Matt.
This is Matt Island.
House of Matt.
This is Redem Matt Island.
Nice.
Thank you.
And he was quite happy to see her. She doesn't appear to be too incredibly tough. And
she's not.
And she's not. But she gives him a run for his money here.
Yeah. She has a ton of advantages with the challenge it is and his foot. But
correct.
Yeah.
He greets her with, oh, I've been hearing horror stories about Zapatera. You good? It's like, no, it wasn't that bad. There's good people on that tribe, like Julie, Mike, Steve, Ralph.
Huh,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's one person you didn't name. So all but one, huh?
Everyone's great.
No, it is interesting that Sarita gives Matt this info and like is trying to help him.
Yeah.
It just seems like Sarita is a genuinely, like, at least somewhat kind person, or at least to the people that she likes. Maybe, like, more passive-aggressive to someone like Dave that she doesn't get along with, but I don't know.
I think it highlights that she was loyal to this tribe to the end. Like,
yeah.
Or she knew that her days were numbered and she couldn't beat Matt in this challenge. So
well,
she didn't
know what the challenge was.
I think she may have just like, oh, you've been here 6 times and you've won every single time.
Fair.
You should consider working with my tribe.
And he should have.
They need you. And yeah, he should have. Matt was considering getting back on board, but with Ometepe, like he was, hey, maybe I go and I work with my old tribe, but this could be an opportune moment to get back at them and strike when they least expect it, when they most expect it. We get tree mail. Everyone gets tree mail, and everyone gets to go watch the duel. This is basically signaling to everyone.
It might as well just have their new buffs in the tree mail.
Something's going to happen. Something big. Go watch. And Ometepe suspects it's a merge.
I've said, like, wow, I don't know how to make this twist better, the Redemption Island. Maybe what they could have done is had at least one other time up to the merge that somebody did come back in, and then they did a tribe swap at the merge. At Redem Matt Island. Like, that would have at least shaken it up a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
I think what they could do is take it from a different twist that they put on something that becomes... Sorry, I'm going around in circles here. Later in the game, they pull a twist on something that shows up in early Survivor to, like, refresh it, where they draw numbers and don't tell anyone what the number is to say when something is done. I think that could be an interesting way to do Redemption Island, to say, all right, you're welcome back in this game, but I'm going to draw these two numbers, not tell you what the numbers are. They're going to live in this little box here. And when that number comes, boom, surprise, you're back in this game.
Sure, yeah. And then have a couple episodes that we vote out two people or something to make up for the time.
Yeah. And like it could go horribly wrong, and you could have the number could be 2 and 3 so that people are back early in the game, and then it's just dead, and you've wasted all of these resources building duels.
Yeah, you'd have to maybe make it 3 people and 1 person comes back at the merge, and then stop it at the merge. Mm-hmm. Don't bring it back for post-merge. That seems like a terrible idea.
Anyway, yeah, everyone's bringing all their stuff. Rob says it would be foolish to leave all of our things here. And I think we're going to end up on their beach, so we need to bring all of our rewards, all of our stuff, take it with us to watch this challenge. And Philip's like, I bet they're going to come here.
Philip doesn't just pick hills to die on. He goes out and scouts new, uncharted hills to go that, like, nobody's previously discovered to then die on.
So, Philip, you're a gambling man, you say.
Why would you do that? Why? And I think he's just arguing for arguing's sake at this point.
You might be right.
There's no good reason not to bring your shit.
Other than you don't want to have to take everything down.
Sure.
But
the risk-reward there, though.
It's not even close.
No.
So they do end up taking all their stuff, and good thing they do, because not only do they merge, it pours the night that they get there.
Okay, I'm jumping ahead, but why the fuck did they take them to a new beach? Why did they make them build a new shelter after they chewed up probably a good portion of the day with packing up Redemption Island and a feast? And then they have to build a shelter in the Nicaraguan rainforest for that night.
Correct.
When they had already built 2 shelters.
I don't hate it.
I do.
But it is an unnecessary challenge that they throw on to, you're right, just time frame alone. They don't have enough time to get this shelter done in a day.
No. Like, maybe without Redemption. I mean, they've done this something similar before, not in places where I think the weather has been as bad, but even if so, if they have, I don't remember, not with Redemption Island.
Right.
You don't need this. Why are you doing it? At least they have tools.
Yeah, the fact that they have the tools and they have the tarp makes me go a little more, yeah, it's fine. I don't care
as
much.
Is it just because of immunity idols? Like, what does it add and why are you doing it? Is there a new immunity idol?
See, I think you're hitting on something that hasn't been addressed yet, but is important, that it frees up the ability for there to be another immunity idol.
Do we want 3 of them in the game?
Do we?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess if there's going to be 3 of them in the game, then they can't be used at Final 5.
So, yeah, okay.
Because then you have the then it could be, oops, all immunities for all but 1 person who goes, okay.
Which would suck.
I guess I'm going home.
God, to be voted out I mean,
you wouldn't even be voted out.
You wouldn't even be voted.
You're the only one eligible to go home.
You would just sit there and be like, oh, you have an idol? Oh, you have an idol? Oh, you have an idol.
Oh, you have immunity necklace? Well.
What does that mean, Jeff? It means you're going home.
That would technically be a sweep, I guess.
It would be. Yeah.
That'd be shitty.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, Phillip's doing his whole thing, and Rob's like, better be safe than sorry. Phillip says, if there's a merge, I feel good staying with Ometepe. He has since been won over by the Ometepe bonding. He was originally going to like, no, I'm going to shake this game. I'm going to target Rob.
He's doing the same thing Matt's doing, except he just shuts up about it, which is crazy that Phillip is showing more tact and game sense than Matt. Which is not a compliment to Phillip.
No.
It's more of an insult to Matt.
Phillip is fascinating because he does play this like boisterous and like just cannot shut up of it all, but like is thinking in his head about strategy.
Yeah, he goes through the emotional whiplash though of like a preteen.
Yeah.
Would be like, one day they hurt my feelings despite the fact that I was being a moody bitch or whatever. And now I'm going to backstab Rob. And then, oh, but we had a sandwich together. So now Rob and I are BFFs, dear
mm-hmm.
diary.
Mm-hmm. But Matt has the guilt complex of a 12-year-old Catholic boy.
Which I got to say, my reading episode one of like, sometimes like when people make religion like the biggest thing about them, they don't typically have a good game sense in Survivor. Boy, am I justified in that read in this episode.
I would argue against that.
Why?
I think it... You're right. If they make it their whole thing and, like, have no other redeeming qualities, it's problematic.
Well, it's not that he has no other redeeming qualities. It's that people, Matt and some other contestants we've seen like him put... They're like, my goal here is to spread the light of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, your goal here should be to play Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And... if that's, you know, if you want to do that, great. But I'm like, you can't have a thing that is more important than playing Survivor when you are playing Survivor, or you are going to lose Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I think his fatal flaw is the Jesus take the wheel of it all.
That too.
And basically saying, hey, I'm going to let you guide me here and just make moves based on what I feel is right.
Yeah.
And again, great philosophy in life.
Yes and no. Listen, I'm not going to get on a whole soapbox for too long. I do have, I being raised religious, I did see plenty of people that gave up their own agency because they're like, well, that's in God's hands. I'm like, no, you actually can do something about this.
Yeah.
And sometimes used to excuse, to be lazy, honestly. Like,
sure.
Oh, I don't need to like help my community. That's in God's hands. And it's like, well, no, you actually should, you know. There's plenty of Bible passages about, like, doing things, but that's a separate conversation. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, in this game sense, it gets him in trouble, especially when you spill the entire beans to the literal devil on your shoulder.
Yeah. Yup.
All right. Anyway,
And also, you said no other redeeming qualities. Matt does have other redeeming qualities in the game.
He does. I mean, he's athletic. He's a pretty boy.
They're just overshadowed by the... It's just another version of, oh, this person we can't trust because they're unpredictable. Like, it's almost like the angel version of Nyonka,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, he's just going to go off and do shit. We can't work with somebody who's just going to go off and do shit and change his mind every other day about who he wants to be with, and then also tell everyone that.
Right. That is the problem. He cannot shut the fuck up about it. He's too pure for his own good.
Yeah.
The Zapatero people, basically, they get the same clue, and they just say, Rob's the target, right? We all know what this is. We want to get Rob out. And I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with the guy, says Mike. Go to Redemption Island. Matt cut his foot. Apparently bad enough that they had to give him a bandage.
Yeah, I wonder if the bandage was, like, if he needed it when he wasn't doing the challenge, but, like... on the challenge, because it's pulling the skin apart on your foot, you absolutely have to have that bandage.
Yeah. Did you take a look at the cut?
It looked deep, but small.
Yes.
Which is like, ow.
Yeah, it would hurt. And I want to give all the credit on that one. It looks painful. However, not bad enough that I felt it necessarily needed a whole thing dedicated to it, other than the fact that you cause intrigue and you have to explain away the bandage.
Sure. I think it's the intrigue part of it. And, I mean, I think it was very impactful. Like, that... the where it's on like the ball of his foot, which is where you kind of have to put the pressure for this challenge, and that had to be so fucking painful because mm-hmm. all of your body weight is on that one spot where it hurts the most. Yeah. I guess it was on the outside of the ball of his
foot. He kind of leaned the other direction, especially toward the end of the challenge.
Yeah, but one, it's a challenge that one slip up and you're just done. Yeah. So like, big credit to him on the focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this duel, as we were hinting at, the winner goes back in. And they are bracing against two walls with small footholds, and every 15 minutes you go down to a smaller foothold, and then the last set is really, really small, but you just stay there for as long as you can.
We've seen this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We've seen it in Token Sheens and Heroes versus Villains. Why weren't all the challenges like this? This is the best one they've done in terms of, like, a challenge made for a 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones are fine, but, yeah.
I disagree. I like variety in these challenges. I think that we maybe lean a little bit too much in the brain games area of it all, but I want there to be this. I want there to be the physical showdown, but I also want there to be stupid party game to like give someone a chance.
But there's also like stacking the cards.
Mm-hmm.
That could be like the wood tile house of cards, like yeah. That's one that's a brain game, but I think is also better than some of the other ones they did. The one with Russell and Matt was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm nitpicking at this point.
Rob says, well, it doesn't help me if Matt comes back in. It's no good. He might defect to the other team. That comes back in a little bit. We go about 15 minutes in when they're down in the second foothold, and Philip cannot help himself.
Jeff goads him on.
Jeff goads him.
Jeff asks him,
like, what advice would you give to Matt here? And both sides of the viewers are not shy about who they want to win here.
No.
If this were me, I would maybe keep this closer to my chest. Especially if I'm Zapatera.
Yes, if I'm Zapatera, for sure. Zapatera wanted Sarita to win?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what
I thought. People were actively cheering for Sarita.
Yeah. I maybe you can explain that away with, like, you want to show support for the person that you voted off, so you have a possibility of mending, I guess.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but, like, it doesn't help you in trying to win over Matt here.
Yeah. I also, so the Philip montage, they did him dirty.
Like, oh, they did him so dirty.
First of all, it is fucking annoying. And it is, now he's drifting into coach but worse territory.
Mm-hmm.
Token Sheen's coach but worse. And I'm over him. I kind of want him gone.
Okay.
But they do this montage that is very funny. Some of those did not feel like they were actual time jumps or cuts. It felt like they left him talking and then added in the camera going away yeah. music, and it was like the same sentence.
All in all, it could have been a 45-second sentence.
Yeah, but they made it seem like 15 minutes. Yeah. And you know what? It's what Philip deserves for, like, it goes along with the character that Philip is trying to paint, so I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, he talks more about the Bushido.
Yeah, he knows it so well, but can't pronounce it.
Bushido Cohen.
Bushido.
God damn it. About how a samurai knew how he had to conduct his life when things got bad, and then it trails off and continues. Yeah, like I said, it's so fun. Everyone's losing their mind.
Yeah.
And once he finishes, Matt goes, thanks, Philip. Appreciate it.
Which, this is where I feel like early in the season, for the first few episodes, Philip wasn't putting on as much of a show. And this is just kind of who he was. And now other people are giving him positive reinforcement when he leans into these bits. So now I feel like he is.
You're probably right.
I think he's just a weird guy that found a character a few days in.
He is personable on camera.
Is that what we're calling it?
He is a character, and yep. he lights up that camera.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yep.
Sarita gets all the way to the last foothold, and then like 5 minutes into that last foothold, she's holding on for dear life. She says, oh God, and then like 2 minutes later falls.
And see, that God was not listening because God was on Matt's side.
he had the in already. All right, Sarita's out. Jeff says, how are you feeling? I'm bummed. I thought I had it.
She doesn't look that bummed.
Yeah. I think she knew what this was about.
Yeah.
The fact that she made it this far was pretty good.
I also wonder if, like, Sarita, and I guess I can jump right into, like, how I think she'd do in Future Survivor.
That was my next question.
Yeah. She didn't seem like she necessarily adapted as the game went on. Like, she picked a strategy, which was, I'm going to have my people, and we're going to get to the final six, and then we'll see what happens. And is, like, very loyal and friendly. And I got the impression watching, especially this episode, where she's like, she's going home, but she's like, okay, that she just doesn't like the game of Survivor that much. I could be totally off the mark. But that, like, as she's playing it, was like, I don't like the way that the game is played. I'm going to try to play a different game.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not work.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some intrigue and some reason as to why it wasn't such a bummer. Do you remember that tooth that she was talking about earlier?
Yes.
Sarita had an emergency root canal after after her tooth had become badly infected.
Oh, well, I called it. Yep, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Julie, and it doesn't seem like a lot of them were genuinely close. Like, Julie said, I'll see you at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
weird. I think she was a nice person.
I think that all of them, except for Dave and Sarita, like, genuinely liked each other.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's bizarre. That group of six is, it's such a different thing than anything we've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. She is not coming back, but has had a successful career. She was a character coordinator for the movie, I don't know if you've heard of it, Ratatouille.
Oh, wow. Okay.
VFX.
She was a visual effects producer. Like, that was her job listed for while she was on the show.
Did a few of the, like, Toy Story shorts, manager for Toy Story shorts.
Nice.
Visual effects producer for The Bear Show, B-A-R-E.
Oh, I was like,
Not The Bear.
Not, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, like, was working for a while. I don't know if she's still doing that, but...
Good for her.
Yeah. So, bye, Sarita. We move on. Jeff, again, welcomes Matt back, gives him a buff, and says, it's clean and a different color. We're merged. Everyone knew this was coming.
Everyone knew this was coming.
Another black buff. We've had a lot of black buffs in recent times.
It's a good color.
I like black buffs. I have one.
Sure.
It's... I don't know. You lose the impact of doing the same color over and over again.
Yep, I agree.
And then Jeff drops the next bomb. Beginning next tribal... Redemption Island starts again.
This is such a mistake.
So Matt, you could be voted out and be right back here.
We should make it up to Matt.
Matt, stop them.
Jeff, when is it done? Is somebody in the final three going to be whoever wins Redemption Island? It better fucking not be.
I don't know what you're saying.
That thought wasn't fully formed when it came out of my mouth, and I went, fuck, that's what they're going to do, isn't it?
I can't tell you what is or is not.
Oh my God, is the person on Redemption Island going to join the final four? It is going to be a final five challenge. And then whoever, like, so that they can just win and be back in the game if they don't, or like, is just there for that challenge. And then we do a normal vote. Like, oh God, they have so many ways they can fuck this up.
Jared's in actual pain on this.
Well, because, like, I know what Jeff and the producers are going for. They want to shake it up. They want you, the audience, and sometimes the contestants, to be unsure and to ask the questions for that shock factor. If you're being not generous, for that shock factor, if you're being generous, just to keep things, like, mixed up and lively and keep you on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does not seem like they always think of the downstream impacts of these, or potential downstream impacts of these decisions. Or maybe they do, and they talk them out, and they say it's worth the risk. But the upside on this is just so limited.
Right.
This doesn't seem like a good idea.
I guess I'm jumping a little ahead here, but it feels important as to what we're talking about right now. Can Matt run the table again?
I mean, I'm going to say yes. At this point, I'm not betting against Matt. He has God on his side.
He has God on his side.
Matt should have had immunity for this vote, too. Like, give him one immunity, because mm-hmm. this was the risk, was that the person comes back in and gets immediately voted back out. And I thought that'd mean going home.
Mm-hmm.
It means going back to Redemption Island. But this just, like, Matt is 15 days behind on social, on relationships. Give him 2 to 3 days of immunity
mm-hmm.
to figure it out.
I agree with you. Matt did himself in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Matt has most of the blame. But the show should have... Yeah.
So they go back, they have a feast, and... Oh, sorry. I have to point out that he begs people, please don't send me back.
And that's when I wrote down they have the opportunity to do the funniest thing. And holy shit.
They go to their new island. They have a feast. Julie feels like a kid at carnival. Steve struggles to pronounce prosciutto. Prochetto. Life's pretty good right now.
Yeah, always is the merge feast.
We have another fake name.
We have Boston Rob pulling a page out of Eric Reichenbach's book and celebrating Amber.
Amber.
It's Boston Rob does strike me as like a wife guy a little bit.
Oh, he loves his wife.
It's
like,
really
hard.
Nice. Yeah.
The only person that he loves more than his wife are the man crushes that he makes in all of these reality shows.
His Jeff Probst.
Yeah. I have a future one from a different reality show that I cannot wait to talk about because it's so funny.
It's nice to see the softer side of him. I mean, we've seen it before, but like, he doesn't talk about it a ton. He doesn't make his time on Survivor about Amber,
mm-hmm.
but then there's like little moments where like he'll bring her up in a confessional or, you know, name the tribe after an inside joke between the two of them. And I'm like, she's always just there in your mind, isn't she? That's really cute.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's like the Godfather. If the Godfather simped real hard for his wife,
if the Godfather had the simping habits of Napoleon Bonaparte.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Do you know one of the letters from Napoleon Bonaparte to his wife, Josephine, was like, you write about your dog more fondly than I. Do I need to bark to get your attention?
Oh.
The other famous one is, I will be home in 3 days. Do not bathe.
What?
He was a freak.
No kidding. Well, I mean, good for him. I'm not going to yuck somebody's yum.
I will. Kidding.
He names the tribe, was it Merlonio?
I didn't write it
Something
down.
Something along those lines. From the sea, he says, united. I have a basic amount of knowledge of how Spanish works, and I know that that is not the case.
I have almost no knowledge of Spanish, and I knew that was not the case. Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's an in-joke between me and Amber. It's the stuffed animal ringleader from back home.
He's just running up the score. Whether or not he wins or not, he feels like he's in a position to win the game
mm-hmm.
and is just fucking around at this point.
Sure. Is it... Sorry, I was on a fully different tangent. Is this funny or is Eric's Dabu funnier?
I think Eric's Dabu is funnier because, first of all, he did it first.
Yeah.
Second of all, World of Warcraft. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. The malicious nerd intent is really funny there.
Yeah.
Okay. Dabu. They build the shelter together, a chance for them to bond, a chance for them to, I don't know, take some time together.
A chance for them to have a fucking place to sleep in like 4 hours.
Matt pulls Grant aside and says, so what exactly happened when I was voted out? On day 3. Well, we were all paranoid about Christina, and that's really it. Okay. Sure. That doesn't tell me what I need to know, I don't think, but he's a trusting man.
In the words of a famous almost vice president, that's a damning non-answer. Yeah.
I had the sign and everything. Mike sees this all as Matt's the linchpin here in all of this. We're 5, they're 6.
Matt makes the classic mistake of being in the middle and then becoming the target.
Uh-huh. He has no loyalty to them. Why should he? But
yeah, why should he?
He does care about Andrea. So maybe he and Andrea can be the biggest chess pieces in this game. You team up with us, we can go to the Final Four. I will promise you, Final Four, I have no problem cutting my tribe down to get us there.
Even if that's not true,
he's
a better deal than you're getting on Ometepe, my guy.
He's laying out a great deal for them.
Yeah, I mean, and there's no way to guarantee that.
There's no way to guarantee
it. But hey,
it.
Matt, you know where you stand on Ometepe because they voted you out already once.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm.
Because like going back to Grant's non-answer, that doesn't have to like that isn't. What about Philip?
What about Philip?
Because it was like, we're worried about Christina having another idol. Okay, so we need to split our votes. Sure. Why'd you split them with me then? No, why not Philip?
Yeah, and Matt says it himself. I can't be passive like before. I'll be back on Redemption Island in a jiffy.
Right.
So I got to go talk things over with Andrea. They then have a rainy, miserable night. Everyone, if you're in Zapatera originally, miserable. Their side leaks. They didn't sleep well. Steve says it was leaking like a sieve.
And then the Ometepe side is like, were they sleeping on the ground? But they had a tarp?
No, I think they were in the shelter, okay. But they had the tarp covering them.
They were using it as a blanket.
Basically. No, I think that it was up. It was just, it could only go so far in the shelter.
Oh, I might have been missing two different. I might be combining what that was and another shot at a different time then. I thought they were literally laying under it as a blanket.
It could be. I think it was just a long shelter.
Okay.
And the tarp covered this much space and only Ometepe could fit under there.
When things like this happen, I'm like, wow, even without diabetes, like if I could be on the show, I don't know if I'd survive those cold nights, dude.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
There have been times in my life where I'm like, I am so miserably cold. I hate everything. Doing that day in and day out is just hard. And with no light at the end of the tunnel of going inside and having a shower.
I can hardly deal with it when I know exactly when it will no longer be.
Yeah. So Matt, in the middle of darkness, goes to Andrea and is like, hey, you're my closest ally here. And they bond over this. Yeah, sure. I want to take out Ometepe. And here's my strategy. We work with them for a bit. We vote out Steve. We then go in and we blindside Rob on the next one.
Why are you voting out Steve?
I actually don't hate this.
I don't hate it, but it's like, why not just do your plan from the first vote? Unless it's like, in case he has an idol, which, I mean, he does.
Which he does.
But then go after somebody else. Blindside Philip. Like, who cares?
Mm-hmm. And he says it. The game respects big moves. And while that is true, you have to follow through on your big moves. You can't just come up with the concept of a big move.
Yes. And I hope that... I know this mentality is going to stick. I don't like it, which is like big moves for big moves' sake, or at least big moves being more important than other things. Mm-hmm. This is not a big move for big moves' sake. Mm-hmm. But that, like, oh, the game respects big moves, I think is what a lot of people come in with, and they're like, so I'm just going to shake things up. And then you go, why? And they go, because they respect it. And you go, no, but how does it help you in the game? And they go, because it's a big move.
Respect.
Because I did it, and it's a big one. And it's like, well, okay, what?
Andrea is hesitant but on board with this. Do you think she would have...
Yeah.
Done this?
Oh, yeah. For sure. She's given us enough back at camp in her confessionals and talking with Philip that, like, she's worried about her place in the tribe. She knows that she's close to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
She is not in Boss and Rob's final three plans, so, yeah, why would she not?
Great. In the morning, Mike's reading the Bible. I think this was... Oh, whose Bible was this? Krista?
Krista's,
yeah. Krista's Bible. And because I'm sure Matt brought it with him back. Yeah. So it's just a funny way that personal items have traveled in this one.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't get your personal item unless you're at Redemption Island.
Mm-hmm. So Mike's reading this Bible. And ironically, he pulls Matthew talking about the desert and 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. It's just so funny.
Mike's laying it on pretty thick here.
He's laying it on pretty thick.
But I think Matt's naive enough to buy it. Or like... I don't think like Mike's faking anything, but like for Matt just to be like completely like in on this.
And the problem being is that they're doing it right out in the open.
Yeah.
And Boston Rob sees this and he's like, I got no problem against God. I want that clear, but if too many people share something in common, that's a problem, and I gotta break that up.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care that it's Jesus that they're bonding over. Yeah. I hate that they're bonding.
It could be knitting for all I care. They gotta go. Someone's gotta go.
Yep.
So if Mike doesn't win this challenge, he's gone.
Doesn't Mike win this challenge?
No.
Who does? Oh, that's right. He was
second place.
He was second place. He was so locked in for so long. This is where I definitely thought he was going to win the challenge because we heard that. But yeah, no.
It's a good little fake out there. Misdirection. So we then get to the immunity challenge. They show the new immunity necklace. It's Mayan themed. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because like the faces are split in half because there's like one in the middle and then a second one that's half open and then a third one that's even more open.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about Mayan culture.
I don't either.
I did at one point in like middle school is like my hyper focus, but
when did you watch JoJo?
Much later. No, it was like I learned it for like some like Mayan Aztec history for like a project I was doing. I was like, well, this is my personality for 6 months. but I guess like a small touch on cultural appropriation. I don't know if I prefer it to be fully, like, if they're going to tap into different cultures,
mm-hmm.
to go fully authentic or try to go fully authentic or try to do a hodgepodge of, like, aesthetically close but their own thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, stone faces, but it's not, we're not pulling exact iconography. We're kind of blending together a lot of themes. I don't know. I don't really answer that.
I think this is my middle ground.
Sure.
Whereas I hate the depictions of people that they try to do.
Yeah.
Like in the culture depictions of people, this step up depiction of deities / gods / I don't know, something that is in the culture but is not, it's artistic. It has some ways that you can be like,
artistic liberties with a theme.
Yeah. And then my top ranked of something using the cultural pattern, but is not necessarily like revered in the culture,
like colors, textile prints,
animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I would be like, yes, that's where we want, but I don't hate this one.
Yeah. I was just musing out loud
again. Don't know. It could be horribly culturally inappropriate.
It's weird to muse on what is your preferred version of cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. I'm doing my best over here.
They then do the challenge. They have a small log perch where they have to stand on and balance a ball. And then as the challenge goes on, they're essentially holding like a pizza platter made of all wood. There are no ridges around it.
Ruffle.
Ruffles have ridges.
Ridges.
I can't roll my tongue, so my theater teacher in college had me say that a bunch of times, like as practice to roll. He may be technically correct on this. He was adamant that like, no, anyone can roll their R's. It's a speech impediment if you cannot. And I'm like, while you may be correct, I don't like how you say that.
Toxic theater teachers, never heard of them.
Anyway. They add balls in intervals, and if a ball falls out or you step off the log, you are gone. This challenge is hard to talk about because they're just standing on the platform. It's one of those time-based, okay, hold on, see what happens. In order, well, first, Philip has rhythm. He very much wants us to know this.
He has rhythm.
He got that rhythm.
He has his girl who could want for anything more.
Wow, bringing back some jazz references.
Yeah. Is that Hello, Dolly? Or is that just a jazz standard?
It's just a jazz standard. Right. It's shown up in musical theater, I believe.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of jazz standards.
I got rhythm. I got music. I got my pod. Who could ask for anything more?
The editing, the only thing I'm going to say is that before the challenge is they show us like the visual representation of like a platter, a ball. But they don't just have the balls appear. They have them like fly in from the middle of the screen. It looks so dumb.
It's funny, too, because they fly in, but the balls have obviously moved.
Yeah.
So they have to both crossfade and fly these balls in. It's funny to watch.
Oh, we didn't, I don't think we talked about before the challenge, Matt talks to us about, like, last night I thought I would flip over to Zapatera, but now I'm feeling more like I want to stick with Ometepe because, you know, betraying people is not God's will, or however he phrases that. And I'm like, it's a game. It's a game. God is okay with playing games. Mm-hmm. But juxtapose that onto Boston Rob also has a confessional where he's like, I think Matt's going to betray me. And it's like, wow, Matt's now not going to, and now you think he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so in order, Julie's out in the first round. Round two, Ashley out, David out. Ralph hangs on by a thread, only to get out later. When we move to three balls, Andrea out, Grant out, Matt out, Rob out, Philip out. Ralph animal calls at his balls to try to bring them back in.
It's pretty funny. Like, nah, get back here.
Yeah. And then is out. He drops one. And then Steve, I think, was the only one who stepped off the log.
Yeah.
He was
just moving. He was trying to contort his body and to get it to catch back up to the ball. This is really one that, like, recovery is almost impossible.
Yeah. Oh, once they start moving, and especially if they're moving in different directions, yeah, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And Ralph falls. Steve falls. Mike is a statue in this.
It's crazy. That's why I thought he won, because my memory of the challenge is him just, like, not moving.
He didn't move.
Until the fly, probably the same fly that landed on Mike Pence's head during the VP debate in 2020.
It's a well-traveled fly.
Yeah. No, it's long life. Lands on the ball and fucks Mike up.
I take it back. Mike did step down because he says his foot falls asleep and he just loses control here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Natalie wins. Congrats, Natalie. So, back at camp.
Oh, wait. Can we also talk about, like, a lot of people fell in rapid succession, mm-hmm, and then Jeff screams at them to get their composure. Like, sure, Jeff, that's going to help.
Get your composure. Figure it out. Dig deep.
Dig deep.
You got to dig deep. Mike lays it out here. This first vote is big. I don't think that they believe, they gather everyone together in Zapatera, and they're like, I don't think that they believe Steve or Julie are big threats. I think they think it's Ralph or me, but I think they're targeting me. So Ralph, would you be okay playing that idol for me?
They're playing chess. They're playing checkers. Boston Rob is playing chess.
Because mm-hmm,
not only does he, because it's weird, they go off into two huddles. Like, there's no ambiguity about, like, the sides here.
Right.
And they, like, you don't, they think, okay, well, who is the biggest threat that they are going to think of over there? But they don't think, well, do they think that we're having this conversation right now? They don't even entertain that idea.
But they think that we think that they think.
I mean, yeah, that's the tricky thing of having an idol, right? Yeah. So, like, you got to get some information somehow, or live to fight another day.
Or we got a real Matt in so that we can do something about this.
That would have been the better plan.
Yeah. They also theorize, let's take out Grant because we don't want to target Rob. Let's go for someone that they wouldn't expect. Funny that they don't put two and two together. They're like, let's target someone they don't expect.
Right.
So they're going to target someone that we don't expect.
There's like a level of, it's not even arrogance. Like, they don't think they're smarter than them. They just, the Zapatera 6 feel like they are, like, they think they're playing against a computer. Like, they're playing Survivor against a robot that will just, they can go, that'll be their move.
I feel like people would get mad at them for playing the idol at this vote. One, they played it wrong. But I genuinely think that this was a good move for them.
I don't. Because, I mean, if you're trying to pull Matt and Andrea, you can lose one vote.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't, but if you don't have rock solid information, you can lose one person.
Mm-hmm.
Easier to say when you might be the person that you're losing, but I don't know. I think that I think you can risk it for one vote.
I think it covers their bases a little bit here for them to be like, if Matt is wishy-washy, and we're seeing that Matt is wishy-washy, right, here, we can at least say, all right, it didn't work, but we have backup option in case things go wrong. Because then I trust my six. Let's just get to a point where we can at least be competitive.
Yeah, well, five now, but...
Yeah.
And I guess it's... We're saying the same... We both have the same approach, just at different times. Because I would rather cover my bases at the second vote than at the first one.
Okay.
Because at the first one, you can hold out hope Mass and come with you the second time, if he does or doesn't. They also have less targets after you vote one more person out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you win immunity that next time, and then you have a 1-in-3 shot instead of a 1-in-5.
But as we've seen thus far in this game... It seems pretty tribal.
Yeah.
And if you're down numbers early, that could mean the death of your entire tribe.
It could. Yeah. I just think that, like, you have a better mathematical shot of getting the idle play right next vote.
I mean, you're right, but what's stopping them from just holding it until the very end where it's just the one Zapatera?
And maybe Ralph should. Like...
I mean, it's his choice, so by all means, you're like, right.
Being the last person, but that's... That only works if you are the last person, and I don't think Ralph would be the last target, so, yeah.
Fair. Matt and Rob go on a romantic rock viewing area.
They go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm gonna try that again. They go to the Garden of Gethsemane for, I think I said it the same way twice. I'm gonna leave both those in now.
It's fine.
Where Judas tells Jesus that he was going to betray him, but decides but decided not to.
Yeah. And Jesus is like, the fuck, dude.
Also, I wrote down at this point, Matt, go two sentences without mentioning God challenge, brackets impossible.
Matt says he grew up so much through his Redemption Island experience, and I thought about switching, but I really don't want to switch. I gotta have peace with whatever happens here. Oh, by the way, I was gonna betray you. Andrea was too. Hi, Andrea, come on over here.
That's... See, I genuinely do think that Andrea would have gone with him, but I think that he lit that bridge on fucking fire.
Mm.
Like, to oust yourself is stupid. To oust your closest ally that you have not talked to about it without their permission, very bad.
Yeah, but if it's God's will, he'll take me as far as he wants me to go in this game.
Which is back to Redemption Island.
God needs you on Redemption Island. God, I don't think you understand.
God will not save you from the consequences of your own actions. Like, that is a pretty... I mean, it's not for, like, the ultimate one of, like, sin or whatever.
I was like, I'm trying to find a story in the Bible of, like, God saying, all right, I'm bailing you out.
Oftentimes, I mean, I guess maybe there's Old Testament stuff, but... A lot of the Bible is like, hey, yeah, like, you gotta fix your own shit, and, like, I'm here to help you, but, like, I don't know, like...
There's those stories, and then there's the stories of the, like, I'm testing you.
Sure.
Testing your faith. But usually God puts the person in that situation.
Right.
And then bails them out and says, okay, no, hold on, that was just a test. Don't kill your son.
Right, exactly. There's very few, if any, stories... I'm going to get a correction on this, I know it, but where somebody continues to make bad decisions and God's like, no, I'll just clean that up for you. You don't need to worry about that. I'll fix that without, I mean, like, redemption and stuff, but whatever.
Prodigal son.
Prodigal son came back, though.
He did come back.
And like,
yeah, but he made a bunch of bad decisions, and then he was like, okay, fine.
Because I was also thinking of that, but this is not that. Matt is saying, the consequences will be up to God. And it's like, no, the consequences are up to your tribe, dude.
Actually, hold up. This actually is, the more I think about it,
it's the prodigal son.
It's kind of prodigal son. He came back and said, yeah, I made all these mistakes and I was going to do this, but I'm not going to anymore. I'm back, Dad.
Yeah. But,
and then Dad kicks him to the curb.
But yeah. And God didn't fix all of that. The dad in the prodigal son story, like, took him back and welcomed him in.
Yeah, and then tells the other son, like, yeah, it's because he came back and I love him and I love you too.
The problem is, it's not in God's hands whether you stay in this game. It's in Boston Rob's.
Wow, this is such an interesting episode for us to go on here.
Well, because it's the way that Matt keeps framing it. It's like, dude, that is not how this works.
So... Like I said, Andrea comes and she's like, oh, it's so stupid. This, him telling all of this could ruin everything for the both of us.
Well, and at this point, I think she's decided, or at least shortly after, there is no both of you.
There is no both of us. It's, I'm going to let him dig his own grave.
Yeah. Why would you want to be tied to this person now that just pissed off everyone? Mm-hmm.
So then Rob gets off this rock in the middle of the ocean and goes to Natalie and be like, hey, important point of this game right now. can you figure out what we're going to do? And I was like, I don't know. We're voting for Matt. And the shit-eating grin on Natalie's face, I had to stop and take a picture because it's just...
Yeah, it's, she's like, oh, like, man.
No, really? Can we do this to this poor child?
It is... I am kind of sad we haven't gotten more Natalie, by the way. I understand why we've gotten, like, Ashley and Natalie together a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But Natalie's the one who Boston Rob said that he's going to take to the end.
Oh, yeah,
to us.
I think Natalie's interesting and has some, like... fun personality, but she's buried under Boston Rob.
Under Boston Rob and Ashley. And yeah. I mean, I think we could remove some Philip content and show more of her.
That too.
But yeah, everyone on Ometepe is like, guys, do we have to? And the answer is, yeah, you kind of do.
Mm-hmm. I think Rob plays this really well.
Oh yeah. I do think there is a level of, I don't know if I would vote out Matt. Personally, if I was in Boston Rob's shoes, Matt, and maybe it's just because I have way more information than Boston Rob does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is seemingly the only thing that matters to Matt. And so if he came to me and said, hey, I was thinking about it, but God told me I shouldn't betray you, I'd be like, all right, I'm good for a little bit then.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you can kind of lay into that.
It's and predictable.
Yeah.
At that point. From somebody that has been completely unpredictable the whole time.
If nothing, he has a guilty conscience and he's going to tell you the thing that he's going to do at any right. given point. But, like you said, Boston Rob doesn't like having someone who's wishy-washy around. He has this group of people who are loyal to him, possibly to a fault at this point.
And Mike.
And this random guy who just admitted that I was going to blindsided you.
And Mike being around makes that more dangerous because he can sway Matt mm-hmm. through the lens of religion
mm-hmm.
rather than just like through it's good for you in the game. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I would have made the same decision. Tricky.
Mm. So while they're fixing up the shelter, Mike passes a note a la grade school to Matt. Hey, final three, you in?
Well, because Boston Rob does something really subtle and really smart here, which is once they set the plan... keep Matt occupied until they go to tribal.
Correct. I don't need you walking off in different directions to go talk about things. I need you here where I can keep an eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's fix this shelter so we have a nice place to sleep tonight. Teehee. And then he does go off on his own with Andrea.
Yeah, he goes on a walk,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, which means got pulled for a confessional, which I'm glad I know that. I do kind of wish, I know it's just a style thing, but, like, for people that don't know, that are just casual viewers of Survivor, I'd be like, you all, like, that's not suspicious. I've said that before. I do kind of wish they could just say, production needs me. Because, like, then we know that that's the excuse they're using versus, that opens up its own can of worms. But the going on a walk is just something that, like, if you don't know what it's code for, you're going to be like, well, okay, Matt, you're an idiot.
You're right. However, the fact that both of them are gone, they're not doing two confessionals at the same time here.
No, I know. But Andrea wasn't with them for that. She was already gone, I think. So it's a minor thing. I don't even know. Maybe it would actually be worse the other way around. I'm just putting myself in the mind and shoes of somebody that's like you know, Survivor's one of the 12 shows that they watch over the course of a year, mm-hmm. and they turn it on and they don't think about it between seasons. And I would be like... Matt's an idiot.
And then Andrea basically sums this up with, I trusted Rob once before and I got burned. On the other hand, Matt's sketchy and flighty. Which way do I want to go with this?
It's pretty obvious.
Because she is kind of the pivot here. I mean, she could just tell Matt that it's him and that whole plan would be ruined.
Would it?
Yes. Because if he votes with Zapatera...
It's a tie.
It's a tie. Or... he can beg them for their idol, and Zapatero would be all on board with that because then they know where the vote is going.
That's true. Wow. Yeah, Andrea could have saved him and not even betrayed her tribe.
Correct.
I mean, at least given the impression that she didn't betray her tribe. But here's the thing. You can't trust that Matt's not going to say something fucking out of pocket that's going to blow up your game. So, yeah, cut him loose.
Would it have... Actually, this brings up an interesting argument. Would it have been... advantageous for her to slip to say Ralph and be like, hey, the vote is Matt, he doesn't know this, protect him?
I think we're entering into Dave territory where it's like, yeah, technically your hands are clean, but who's going to be the suspect as who let that information slip?
You're right.
And it's going to be Andrea. Now, if it was, if for some reason, like Ashley or Natalie were trying to make a move, that would, or hell, Philip. Although I think Boston Rob tells Philip probably right before they're about to walk the tribal. I think that was part of, like, it was like they do that and then they go to the shelter. And I was like, okay, you're like keeping everyone near you. But for one of them, if they want to make a big move, absolutely. Mm. Why would you ever suspect one of them to pass that information along? But Andrea would be suspect number one.
Sure. But at that point, would it matter? You've,
that's true.
You've thrown out the fact that your tribe tried to betray you and you survived this. Therefore, can you see the right direction to go here, Mr. Matt?
Can he? Like, that is the question. And I think the answer is, I don't know, and that's too risky.
Fair. So we go to tribal. And
because I would like to say that it'd be like, well, of course he wouldn't go back to Ometepe a third time.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times. What the hell's going on, man? I'm confused.
No. Now, Steven, the second one is, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again.
I feel like this man would get fooled a third time.
That's true. That's a George W. Bush quote, by the way.
Oh, man.
Admittedly, it's been... I've heard it said that he caught himself after he said, fool me once, shame on you. And then was like, oh shit, I don't want it on camera saying shame on me. So he just like made up, he just like fumbled.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It's hard being a politician. Wouldn't be me.
I don't have any sympathy for most for them.
They put them in that position.
Yep.
At tribal, Ralph says, you know what? We're two different tribes. They go their own way. We go ours. And Boston Rob agrees, like, I've never seen anything like it. He's played this game three times already, and never have they been this split at the merge.
Sorry, I forgot to mention something else.
Uh-huh.
With the note. Matt's also an idiot for showing Andrea the note. Because the note says, I'll take you to the final three. Andrea's not in that final three. So you also just told her that... sure, you can jump over with me, and you'll be in the same or worse situation. It's not like you've given her no reason to help you at all. Okay, anyway.
And everyone gets up in arms about this tarp and sleeping on separate side of the shelter. David says, yeah, they slept under the tarp, so they were dry. Ashley goes, well, we won that tarp, so...
David just needs to be muzzled at tribal.
To be fair, I didn't try so hard.
He just, like, during the episode, usually David is fine, and then he gets to tribal, and he becomes a lawyer, and he blows up his game every single time.
Oh, so you did throw that challenge. Yeah, I did. Teehee. Philip, that's the distinction between the two of our tribes. Oh, please. I didn't interrupt you. So you're going to sit there and listen to me, because I'm Philip.
God, I hate him. I'm fully just erasing him from the show in my mind at every opportunity. Although, why is he wearing... So, he's wearing his black buff around his wrist, but on his head, he's wearing, like, a black sweatband kind of a thing. Or, like, cloth he tied around his head.
I didn't notice.
Why is he not just wearing the buff around his head? Yeah, okay.
We're getting deep into a psyche that I'm not prepared to have a conversation about.
There are questions I don't need answers to.
Mm-hmm. Deceit is and can be a beautiful and glorious thing, but when it proceeds outward or recedes outward, it sometimes leaves a stench so great it can carry something that is parasitic.
That's so many words to say nothing.
Everyone's laughing at him while he's doing this because he's so honest and genuine with this. Like, he's saying it from the heart. Everyone's like, my God, he's so much. Stop.
I don't even know what he was trying to say. He just wrote a poem about lying for no reason.
It's the Bushudu.
Yeah, sure. Did French Pasquale write that?
Matt says it was easier on Redemption Island. I was having a funny feeling about this place, this tribal council place, so it's weird being back here again.
Matt has been to tribal three times, and he's been voted out in two of them by the end of this episode.
Oh, and then everything's gonna fall out in this this tribal council, says Mike.
He's both the second and the 14th vote, or whatever it is.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get those exact numbers for you, just because I think that's funny.
He could be voted out again.
You're right, the second and the eighth person voted out of this game. God, that's funny.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, Mike is correct. Everything is going to be laid out of what's going to happen after this tribal. Things will go one way or another. And Matt finally says, I've been gone 15 days. These people have grown closer together. I'm nervous, but I'm starting to see the full picture at this tribal.
Yeah, sure you are, buddy. This is why he should have immunity for this one vote. Mm-hmm. Because, like he said,
he doesn't understand what's going on.
Well, he doesn't understand what's going on, and he, like, boy, you're trying to drink from a fire hose to understand all these relationships that quickly.
Mm-hmm. So then we vote, and upon getting the votes, Ralph plays the idol for Mike, thinking that Mike is in danger.
As if Boston Rob hasn't played four times and would go for something that straightforward.
Mm-hmm. So here's... I thought the vote reading was perfect.
It was.
They do the five votes for Grant. They read all those out first. And then they read one for Steve, and everyone goes, oh, damn it, we guessed the wrong person. Steve's going home. And then six straight votes for Matt.
It's good. It's good. And David, like, this is a great tribal in terms of entertainment value. And David even goes, like, fucking brilliant.
Yeah. That poor kid, says Julie.
Yeah.
And on
going
his
back to Redem Mad Island.
On his way out the door. What the hell, guys? Ugh.
And Jeff is trying to keep up the pomp and circumstance of tribal, but I don't know if he thought about how to say any of this, because he's like, once again, the tribe has spoken. It's like, it's so funny because it's not, I don't think he's trying to be underhanded, but it comes off as so, like, almost mean. I don't know.
Well, that was a first. Yeah. He has a chance to come back, and forgiveness will not be on his mind. Oh, sorry. Matt's voted out on a 6-5-1 line.
Yeah.
Matt says, today God's will was contradictory to what I wanted. Apparently, I'm not very good at this game of Survivor. This
God had nothing to do with why you're going home.
The second sentence was why you were going home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, at least you know that.
Yeah.
And I will say that Matt, I mean, he's still in the game, but like, I imagine there are a lot of early boots like, oh man, if I just would have had more time, mm-hmm. or like, I just, you know, I made one mistake, and now Matt at least gets to definitively say whether or not he comes back in this game or not. Boy, I'm not good at this.
Oh, if I had a chance, I would do it differently this time. He had a chance, and he did the exact same.
No, he did it different. He did it worse. Because he wasn't thinking about betraying his tribe when he got voted out the first time. This time, he was thinking about it, told them about it, and then still didn't.
This is a lesson to anyone going on Future Survivor.
Don't trust Boston Rob.
Well, one, don't trust Boston Rob. Two, if you have a secret plan to betray your entire alliance, maybe keep that close to the chest.
Even if you don't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe don't tell them.
They don't need to know that you almost blindsided them.
That can be a fun thing to laugh about at day 39.
That could be a fun thing that you say at your final tribal council speech.
That's true. Yeah, if you make it there, you can say, hey, actually, I had this other plan that I didn't do.
Yeah.
But instead, you're back on Redem Mad Island.
Your protagonist of the episode.
Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
This is Matt's story, and we're all living in it.
And it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy in three acts.
Particularly Greek.
Yeah, man. If he makes it back in this game again, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. I was happy for him to come back in.
Yeah.
And he had so much time. He had so much time to think about what he was going to do differently and how he was going to play. He had... And like,
oh,
you know,
he had multiple people from multiple tribes being like, please go this way. And like, some of it was contradictory. Like, Stephanie was like, please don't work with these people.
And Krista.
And then other people coming in and saying, no, you got to work. They're all good. But, like, give yourself a chance.
Whether or not they're good shouldn't matter.
What gives you
up,
the best
up
opportunity.
To a certain level.
Yeah. What gives you the best opportunity to win
yeah.
is what should matter.
Yeah. With like, there is a ceiling on that statement. Like, there is some people that get so heinous that I think it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most, like, it doesn't matter. You're not trying to win a popularity contest, but not, like, in America of, like, look at me. I'm such a good guy.
Tee-hee.
Tee-hee.
All right, let's shut it down. bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you'd like to promote today?
What a fucking tire fire. Holy shit, man. Letterkenny. Been watching Letterkenny. It's my hipster claim to fame that I discovered the show before it was available on Hulu. But yeah, I had only watched the first like few seasons. I guess like maybe wherever they're at in like 2020 is what I had seen up to. And so like I started back at the beginning. I've just been watching it through. I've been playing Stardew Valley, and like it hits. I will say it's a hard show to binge because it is it's very like wordplay heavy. And after a bunch of that in a row, your brain can just be like, oh. But I love it.
Nice.
What about you, Steven?
I'm going to go something similar. Canadian drama. The Olympics. The Olympics has great shenanigans going on this year.
Does curling just happen 24/7? Because every time I've been around a TV in the last 2 weeks, curling is on. Doesn't matter the day or the time of day. It's always on.
There's just a lot of matches that have to go on because there's like a lot of teams, and then there's the men's, the women's, and I believe there's a mixed group as well. So there's just always matches going on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. If you haven't been following, the Canadian team got
our cheaters
got called out for doing things improper. And because curling is like a gentleman's game, they're not, people aren't like patrolling to see if you have infractions. And so one team called out the Canadian team for letting go of the rock and then pushing it with their finger, which two things are wrong with that. You can't touch it with your, you can't touch the stone part of it once you let go. And then you also can't touch it once it crosses the line.
Right.
And the Canadian team did that. Like
both of those things,
both of those things. And then got real pissy that they got called out on it. Like you can fuck right off here.
God damn it.
That was an exaggeration, but not by much. He was really funny. And yeah, doubled down. We'll never admit that he did anything wrong.
I've known people like that.
Yeah. We'll show you footage after the match.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Everyone can see. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
My host Steven, this is Jared.
You can fuck right off.
Oh, you can fuck right off, eh?
All right. Bye-bye.